Hi, this is Neil Funk, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye.
Hello, this is Nick Friedel, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye. Hi, this is Chuck Swirsky, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Chicago Bullseye. I have the great Keith Frantz on the line. Keith, how you doing, brother?
Eh, doing as good as you can after a loss like last night.
Yeah, that's no doubt. I mean, that was not pretty embarrassing. It was disgusting, and there's so many adjectives to come up with after witnessing that debacle. At some level, you got to just take your head off and say, you know what, it's the Golden State Warriors. They're one of the best teams of all time. I'm in awe at the amount of people who have jumped off ship when, you know, if the game was played last night, if we played Golden State last night and Golden State was missing their best player, let's say Curry, their best defender Green, Draymond Green, and their best three-point shooter, let's say it's Thompson. Klay Thompson last night definitely was. Let's say they were missing those three guys. I think the game would have been a little bit more competitive. It was only, you know, 10 months ago that we were playing the same team when we had our best player, Lauri Markkanen. We had our best defender, Chris Dunn, and we had our best three-point shooter, Valentine, and the game was a lot more competitive. What say you?
I think the game definitely would have been more competitive, but I think the biggest problem was our team took the approach similar to, like you said, they walked into the game, gave them way too much respect, and ultimately expected to have their doors blown off, and it didn't affect their pride, and they didn't take it personal because they walked in with that kind of feeling, like, hey, you know, we're pretty much just walking out there to be a tune-up game for the champions tonight, and that's what they allowed themselves to be. So I think a lot of that is on the pride within the players. They just went into the game and accepted their beating before the game even started.
No doubt. I mean, they did not perform well. Who did you? Was there anybody? I thought. I mean, I was pretty excited about the way Wendell Carter Jr. played. I thought he played great the whole game, for the most part, and he was the only guy who really showed up. Who were the other guys that really disappointed you?
Just in general. I mean, when you make it to the third quarter and you're already just throwing the, you know, 11 to 15 guys on the bench out there because the game's so far out of reach, the effort in general was disappointing. I'd have to agree. I think Wendell was the only player that really showed me anything that impressed me. Zach continued to do what he's been doing. Jabari did what he's been doing off the bench. Wendell dunking on Dell was the highlight of the night for me, and I could have left it at that highlight and not watched anything else.
So the Cavs are 0-6. Wizards are 1-5. We're one game out of the eighth seed. Do you feel like the season should be over? You know, let's just tank, or do you feel that once we get our guys back in, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, probably less than that, hopefully, that this year is still worth trying to, you know, rectify and turn it around and at least go for that seventh or eighth playoff position?
Even if the playoffs are legitimately out of reach, the new lottery system, tanking isn't going to be as effective. Finishing 6-10 could be just as beneficial as 1-5. So I don't know if the Bulls are ever going to have to fully implement a tank this year. Their roster itself is extremely young, inexperienced, could lose Holiday at the deadline. Maybe Hutch steps into that role, and then we're younger anyway. But competitiveness and going out every night and trying to win with the best young players that we have, I think, should be the goal. I don't think there should be a vibe of tanking around this team. Will losses pile up? It's possible. We are going a quarter or a third of the season without three of our seven best players on a team that already, you know, kind of had the odds stacked against it because of their age and their experience, and everything was going to have to click. So do I think it's a tank season? No. Do I think we're going to make the playoffs? Probably not. I think missing our core for a quarter of the season might have made that a little bit too hard.
So you don't think we're going to make it this year then? Even when these guys come back, you feel like it's going to be too far of a road to climb, even with some of the disappointing starts for the rest of the teams in the East?
Say we're 5-15 after the first 20 games. That leaves 62 games left to get to 41. We'd need 36 of those 62 games. That's well well over 500. I don't know that we were going to be a 500 team when fully healthy. I kind of had a peg around 35 wins. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that even, you know, trying to dig out of a hole from there, I don't know if we can even make it to 500.
Let's talk a little bit on the bright side. Ryan Archie not in the NBA obviously is probably good enough to be in the NBA. He's had some bright moments here. I think Parker, for the most part, has been pretty solid off the bench. You know, and Zach obviously has really played well to start out the year, although he's kind of, I think his game suffered a little bit the last few, two or three games. Anyone else? I mean, why don't you touch on Ryan Archinato, and then we'll get into Parker and then Zach.
You know, Archie, he plays right. Players like to play with him because they know what he's going to give. You have the coach from Parker saying, you know, Arch, I love that guy. You know, he just plays the right way, and that's the best way to put it for Archie. I don't think he's ever going to be a full rotation guy. He's probably always going to be a back-of-the-bench 13 to 15 guy. But in case of an injury, he is the kind of player you want around because you know exactly what he's going to bring every night. Jabari, I think he's in a tough situation because of the way the roster is constructed. They don't have enough firepower, so he has to be relegated to the back lineup. Initially, you know, you're like, what the hell are they going to do? They're going to start Felicio over Parker? He has to start. And then you see them go with the rookie, and I think that has to do a lot with trying to get them prepared to be in the best situation when they are healthy. And that means Jabari Parker embracing his role, getting used to that role, and not also having to put him in as a starter, then take him out of that role again. That could cause problems. So I think everything they're doing right now is focused on being prepared for when they get healthy.
Let's hear your justification for the Hutchinson move to start at the four. I mean, I think it's a massive mistake. He's down to 36% shooting. He's just not playing well. I don't think he's played well since he's gone into that position. I'm just a firm believer in putting guys in a position to succeed. And Hutchin, as far as I know, I don't think he ever, rarely ever played it in college at the power forward position. And I know teams are going smaller, and I understand that. But he's a rookie who obviously isn't extremely comfortable. And to put him in that situation is just very difficult.
He's going to be a power forward with our injuries currently anyway. He's either going to be a power forward playing 20-plus minutes off the bench or as a starter, and as we've seen, he's not playing starter minutes. He's starting on the team. Jabari will come in, you know, 5-6 minutes. Obviously, Hutch has had some foul trouble, but they really don't have any options, Fred. Hutch has to play power forward right now regardless. We have a backup point guard in Shaq Harrison playing backup small forward. At times, we're going Archie, Blakeney, and Shaq deep 1 through 3 in our back lineup, and that's just what it is. We have to play small matchup wise. He's had Marvin Williams, Vince Carter, and obviously last night was the one that killed him, and Draymond Green. And last night it didn't matter who was going to be playing there. Holiday was still going to be guarding Kevin Durant, which was going to be a major problem.
Yeah, I just mean that. I mean, there is an option. They could have started Parker. You just start Parker, and then you hand over that bench role to Blakeney. Like, if that's not that's the question I keep on wanting to ask Fred is, you know, obviously won't get an opportunity to do that, but, hey, man, why is Blakeney on this roster then? I mean, that's what he's born to do, is be a scorer off the bench. That's his goal. That's his only job. That's the only reason we gave him a big contract. He's not a starter. That's what he's supposed to do, is chuck for that second unit. Why does he have this desire that, hey, Parker has to be that guy off the second unit, which I'm really bewildered on, when you're risking really hurting this kid Hutchinson, who could easily – I want him to start. Like, I like Hutchinson. I think he's a great start, but start him at the three over a Holiday. What are we wasting our time like this? Holiday sucked for the most part this year. You know, he's down to 40% from the field. He's shooting 37% from three. All those numbers are inflated because overall I think he's been terrible. What say you?
I think he's a low-maintenance player who's a plus on the defensive end. That is their biggest concern right now. And you divide Jabari and Levine up on those two units. Blake needs a scorer. He's not a facilitator. They have Jabari on that second unit to create things because he can draw double teams. And I know what you mean by saying Zach's being hurt by Hutch being out there, because he can't shoot. Someone Zach throws a double team, they can pull off a hutch and they can go on to Levine. So I get your concern there, but it's not like Holiday's doing that great. He closed the game well. And I could agree, moving Hutch to the three and putting Jabari at the four. But our lineup is just so depleted, and keeping Jabari and Zach split up is good for the defense, and it's also good for the usage aspect of it. Jabari gets more shots when he's separated from Zach. They're not taking away from each other, and then you hope that you got them both going into the fourth quarter, and you close the game with them.
Yeah, the only thing on everything you said there I really disagree with is your assertion on Holiday's defense. I mean, he's at a 119 defensive rating, which is the exact same number that Parker's at. I don't think he's a good defender. I that's the one thing I keep on hearing throughout the years about Holiday, and I just
talking about Hutch being a plus defender.
Oh, no doubt,
Holiday. I don't see as a plus defender at all. I don't think Holiday's a small forward. I think he's a perennial backup shooting guard. That's it.
Yeah. So we're in agreement there. Like, I think Hutch has the ability to be a elite defender. And then yesterday, for example, I mean, you know, God bless Zach LaVine. He was getting torched by, you know, and you could probably say any player in that position would have got torched. But he was, stats I saw, he was 6-6 when LaVine was guarding him 1-on-1. And, you know, at some point you just got to say, all right, let's try somebody else on him. Let's put Hutch on him with a little bit more length, a little bit more height, who I thought could contest it slightly better on Klay Thompson. And just get creative, you know, move LaVine to whoever. And, you know, he doesn't do that. Fred, I just find him just so overmatched right now. It's just beyond belief. What's your take on Fred? Do you feel like he should be let go if this continues? I know he's undermanned. I know this team is, you know, not in an ideal situation, but they're not responding to him. At some point, there's got to be some type of ramifications for this.
Well, I think their best option, if they fired Fred, would probably be an interim situation for Boylan. And he's their defensive coach, and their problem is defensive. So I don't know that he's exactly the answer either. As we talked on the roundtable when we had that episode a couple weeks ago, usually coaches are not, you know, they don't go into the last year of their contract. They're either extended or they're let go. Next year is Fred's final year of his contract. I think they let him go in the offseason. I feel he has been set up to fail just about every year that he's been here. There's only so much he can control, but I also don't think that he's proved enough to them to say, hey, this is our playoff coach going forward. I don't think he's the kind of coach that they need to take this team to the next step.
Are there any names out there that you like? I mean, obviously Tyronn Lue's out there now. Is there, which I know I laughed at too. Someone shot me an email.
Does he come with LeBron or anything else? He didn't want that. So,
does he come with LeBron? Exactly. I mean, but is there anybody out there that you'd say, you know, like just Budenholzer would have been so fantastic just bringing him in? He's such a good coach. And look what he's doing in Milwaukee. You know, everyone saw that coming. But I don't really, there's not really anybody out there that I'm looking that I just say, wow, he'd be great, and this team would be significantly better. That's why I kind of, in a way, am siding with you and saying I think he'll probably, you know, finish out the year. But if things keep on going down this road, you know, the Bulls are funny, though. They'll probably win on Wednesday or something. You know, they're just – they'll pull out enough wins, surprising wins like they did, you know, did with Atlanta and Charlotte, that they'll probably hold off, I think, a little bit on that decision. But is there anyone out there that you say, I'd like to see this guy coaching this team?
I mean, Mark Jackson always comes to mind. I feel he kind of got a bit of a raw deal with the Warriors, kind of set them up defensively, and then Kerr came in, and they just had this amazing core, and they took off. So I think Mark Jackson's an interesting name. I've had a couple people on Twitter mention Jerry Stackhouse, which I would be interested in as well. So those are two names that I think the Bulls could look at, but neither of them make me, you know, want to fire Fred and hire them right away either. I also don't know that that's the best situation for this team. If they're going to be bad and they're going to be injured throughout the year, let Fred finish it out. Use him as the scapegoat and move the hell on. Use that angle in free agency to try to pull a free agent. Hey, you can help us pick our next head coach. You know, you can have a say in this. And obviously that's probably easier to sell free agents than, hey, you want to come play for Fred Hoiberg?
Yeah. Is it, Is there any hope you think of getting Thompson or Durant next year? Do you have any hope there?
See, I want to be that delusional fan that says Durant could come. I look at New York, where he's rumored to want to go, and I go, Kristaps Porzingis may never be Kristaps Porzingis again. We don't know how ACL injuries affect 7'3" centers. We don't know how he's ever going to bounce back. I look at the rest of their roster, and I go, Bulls have a better young core than that. They have a better cap situation than that. I know we don't have the Garden, but we do have one of the best fan bases and best-selling teams in the NBA. It has a certain prestige to it. And I think if Durant walked onto our roster, we'd obviously immediately be a contender with our young core in there. So I want to be delusional and believe it. But I also think we're going to be praying for AD for the next few years.
Yeah, I have a bad feeling you're right on this too. I do feel, I don't think it's impossible though. I think there, there's a general consensus and everybody's listening as their eyes are rolling. You know, the Bulls have been, let's just look at the Knicks. We've been far more successful at signing free agents than the Knicks have in the last 20 years. We do have a number one free agent that was signed. Ben Wallace was clearly the four-time defensive player of the year. He was the number one free agent in 2006. We do have Paul Gasol, who was number two in 2014, who subsequently made two All-Star teams. It was an All-Pro. It's not like we're without anyone. You know, who have the Knicks signed? They signed Stoudemire in 2010. That didn't work out great. I can't, just off the top of my head, I can't recall anyone else that they signed that was a premier free agent. Yeah, Noah, there you go. Yeah, that was a great
signing. Tim Hardaway Jr.
Tim Hardaway Jr., exactly. So, I mean, they have a far worse record than we do. But there is something about New York, and there is no doubt if whoever goes there and leads that team to a championship will be a legend and a hero in one of the major cities in the United States, in basketball Mecca at the Garden. So I do understand the lure, but just – at some point, if you're one of those guys, like you drop Klay Thompson on this team, you drop or Kawhi Leonard, or you drop, even Durant. That's a contender for the next 5 years. That's what we're missing. You know, with Dunn, Levine, we need a three, and then Laurie and Wendell Carter Jr. We need that guy to drop in at that position. Let's say you drop in one of those three. Do you concur with me that you think that's a team for the next 5 years is going to challenge for coming out of the East and potentially, especially if it's Klay Thompson, who's going to then thereby make Golden State worse with his departure? Do you feel that's a team that can contend for a title?
See, the thing with Klay Thompson that scares me is a lot of his effectiveness comes from being with Steph and now KD. As where you can take a KD and you can put a KD anywhere. He's going to be KD. I don't know that if you drop Klay next to Zach LaVine, who's more of a ball dominant, not so much of a playmaker as Curry, even though that's kind of a secondary skill for Curry as well, I don't know that he's as effective there. And he might want Klay as a shooting guard, not a small forward. So now Kawhi or KD, I think you take either one of them and you put them on this roster, you fill our biggest hole, the small forward, with a two-way superstar. And, yeah, we are the contender for the next 5 years, no doubt.
Yeah, so you think that Klay would be, out of those three, the one you would want least for that reason?
And I can't even say want least, because saying that I don't want Klay Thompson is crazy.
Ridiculous.
I just don't think, with the way our roster is constructed, that, yes, he would be the least fit out of the three names.
And then how about Portis, or how do you feel about re-signing Portis? So let's go this. Let's just hypothetically go down that road. We get one of those big three that we just mentioned, Durant, Kawhi Leonard, or Klay Thompson next year. As the sixth man, what would you do with a Bobby Portis? Or would you bring back, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't want to bring back Parker, but I think he could easily fulfill that role as a very valuable player coming off the bench. Like, would you at that point say, hey, Portis, adios, or do you feel that you need to have one of those guys coming in off the bench to support that starting five?
If you land one of those big names, I think you kind of ask them, what do you think we need to add? What do you want here? I mean, that's just me. I think you got to make your stars happy. Hutch obviously could be a long-term backup rotation player. I kind of see that's what he projects as. Obviously, there's that small gray area where he could become something else just because his tools are ridiculous. So I don't know. I think you do need a backup power forward. Bobby can play the 4-5. So maybe you do just bring Bobby back. I think at some point you do have to show players that you're committed to the homegrown thing, and Bobby wants to be here. He loves Chicago, and he is a leader on this team, which I think is something that's very undervalued when we talk about Portis, is his leadership within the team. So letting him go is going to be a lot harder than I think we've made it sound since, you know, last year we've been trying to trade Portis for a first-round pick.
It's not too early to talk about these young college kids now with the current situation. If there's somebody in the college game that you said, that's a kid I want on the Chicago Bulls, who would that player be?
Right now, easy answer for me is R.J. Barrett. I got to do more research. But this draft, and I think it came into play when the Bulls decided to take Wendell Carter Jr., besides the fact that it was a big draft, I think they looked at this upcoming draft and they saw, okay, this is a big man draft. Upcoming draft is very wing dominant. We're going to have Cam Reddish, R.J. Barrett, Nazir Little, all potential two-way small forwards that fill our biggest need. And being bad this year wouldn't be the worst thing if we could land one of them. I think they give us a pretty complete roster and an opportunity to get that future two-way star on a rookie contract as well.
I got to tell you, though, I'm telling you, Keith, seventh team right now, seventh seed in the East is the Heat. They're 3-3. They lost to the Kings at home yesterday. You got the Hornets at 8, who, you know, we've beaten once and got blown out in the other game. Again, though, without four rotation players. You got the between us and that 8th seed, you got the Magic, the Hawks, who we just beat on their home court, the Nets, the Knicks, and us. 2-5, 2-5, 2-4, 2-4. The Magic and Hawks are both 2-4. I don't know if...
Well, and from the beginning, we called Washington was going to be self-detonation city, and they're already heading down that road.
Yeah, you know they're going to play better. So they'll be in the competition here for that 8th seed. There's no way they can continue at this. I mean, they have too much talent. Who knows? Maybe they can't. Unbelievable how bad they've been. They're 1-5, and the Cavs are 0-6, and they're done. But, you know, I still got to believe they're going to challenge for that last playoff spot when they get healthy. I think they're better than all those teams. And I'll even say I think they're right there with the Heat and Hornets for 7th and 8th. I don't know. I mean, I think you're right. I mean,
and to start the season, Fred, I couldn't adamantly dispute that with you. You know, the difference between 35 wins and 41 at 50-50 isn't that great. And I could definitely see them making an AC being healthy, but I just think this 20-plus game hole that they're going to be in, I can't see. The schedule's hard, man. Our next easiest game is the Knicks after the Rockets. So we have Nuggets, Pacers, Rockets, and then the Knicks. And I think that's going to be the next game that we win. So we're going to be going 1-5, 1-5, 1-4, all the way until we get healthy. And that's just going to be so hard to dig out of, even though the East is just a wasteland.
Yeah, good point. Good points, brother. Anything else to wrap this up? I unfortunately got a hard stop. I'd like your just take. What's the surprise you the most so far? In either side, the West or the East? Is it, you know, the Lakers? Is it the Bucks playing so well? What has surprised you the most so far in this young NBA season?
I think the Raptors. Kawhi's fit there. I was very skeptical what was really going on with him, both mentally and physically, if it was a serious injury that was going to plague him, you know, for a long duration, or if he was ever going to recover mentally. Obviously, he's a very interesting person from that aspect, so you kind of worry about his mental state of mind, but I think his fit there has been extremely good. The Raptors look like they could, you know, lead the East again.
Yeah, they lost to the Bucks yesterday, but you're right, 6-1, 5-0 at home. I mean, they're going to be extremely difficult. You know,
and but I think him and Giannis both missed that game yesterday because Giannis had a concussion, and I think Kawhi was precautionary rest.
Yeah, rest, right, exactly. But it's true, though. I mean, you look at that team, the Raptors have been great. When you replace DeRozan, who every playoff choked, it seemed like every there was at least one game where he'd finish on the bench, and this is supposed to be one of your key guys. It's there's no doubt if Kawhi Leonard is healthy, he is a significant upgrade on DeMar DeRozan. And that's nothing against DeMar DeRozan; it's just a fact. He's not in the same class as Kawhi Leonard. And if that
team, you take a Finals MVP, somebody can handle the big moments and put them in place of DeMar DeRozan, and obviously that's what Masai had in mind. He thought it was worth the 1 year risk, and it could very well prove to be a very smart move for them. I could actually see Kawhi staying there as well. I think the distance that is Toronto, and also like having the seclusion, but also having that giant fan base. You got a whole country behind you, essentially. I think that kind of plays into Kawhi's mystique.
No doubt, man. Well, it's going to be fun to see what happens the next couple of weeks. You know, you made a really good case for why this is going to be a complete disaster. Let's hope they can somehow get a couple of wins in here, because I really don't want to go down that road of tanking again. And I honestly do believe that once the four come back, four out of our top seven players come back, I think we're going to be significantly better. And especially with LaVine playing at such a high level. So, you know, is it going to 500 to... We'll probably play at a 500 level, and that won't be enough if we're in too deep of a hole. But, you know, we'll see. Hopefully, hopefully I'm wrong on that, because we have had some impressive performances. LaVine's been better than we expected.
But I think you got to think, though, that wouldn't be the worst thing either, because the team wouldn't be overly demoralized from missing because they know it was due to injuries and not their lack of play. So if they can still get up to 30 plus, 35-ish wins with this major deficit, you're riding that chemistry, that growth, that development into the next season, and you get another shot in the dark with increased odds at getting a top pick. So maybe, once again, this time next year we'll be going, if that didn't happen, we'd be a lot worse off. So we'll see. We got to ride out the storm, and either way.
Sounds good, my friend. Sounds good, my friend. Always good talking to you, Keith. We'll have you again next week. Looking forward to touching base. And until then, go Bulls. Talk to you soon, brother.
Yep, take it easy. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.